Today she is Masechta Ma'akot and Dafyud Gimel. We will begin on Dafyud Beis or Mabeis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Teaches us the Mishnah Machnas Adam Peirosov Neaganovim. A person is allowed to take his fruit from a place where it's dangerous to have them on Cholamoid to protect them that they shouldn't get stolen. Shoyla Pishtonim and Amishra. The flax, cotton, was soaking in the water that they should get softer. B'shir shloi tovid, where there's a concern that if this flax will remain there, there's a concern that they may get ruined. So here too, the Mishnah teaches us that you may remove this. And as the Ritva and explaining our Mishnah tells us, the purpose of our Mishnah is to teach us that even though we've learned so many times Baruch Hashem and our Masechta, the halachas of a davar avid, but the Mishnah here is coming to teach us different circumstances of davar avid that it's not obvious that they are a davar avid, and still the Mishnah is teaching us that they are in the category, they are in the category of a davar avid. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, what malach is involved? The first thing that we learned in our Mishnah is somebody can bring his fruit in. What is the malach that's involved in bringing in the fruit? So there's some Rishonim that say that the malach of bringing in the fruit is not, there really is no malach. But as we've discussed so many times, Baruch Hashem, in our Shiurim, that there is a concern of there's a concern of tircha. That is the primary concern, actually, when we speak about chalamoid. And what our Mishnah means to tell us, when is it considered a tircha, if not for the fact, as we've been discussing, there's a it's a situation of a davar avid, and that's why we could be a little more lenient. However, that there is a very interesting discussion that actually already begins by the Rishonim. The Rishonim say that we know when we speak about Shabbos, there's the Melachas Haitzah, the Melach on carrying in Shabbos, of taking something from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus Rabbim, vice versa, carrying Dalar Amos and Rishus HaRabbim. The Meiri teaches us that that is not considered a Melacha on Cholamoid. And the reason the Achroinim explain that is because at first glance, it's not an easy halacha to understand. If on Shabbos it's considered a malacha, it ought to be considered a malacha on Chol HaMoed as well. Why is it not considered a malacha? So they explain, as is well known, as discussed on in Hilchos Shabbos, that Shabbos, the carrying is considered a malacha gerua. Why is carrying considered a weak malacha? Because if you could carry something all day within your house, it makes no difference how heavy, how difficult, and there's no malach involved. And yet if you carry a small needle from Shusyok to Shusrab and vice versa, the halach is that it's considered carrying. And that's why it's considered malach gerua. And that's why they say that even though it's a malach on Shabbos, it's not a malach on Chol HaMoed. However, there are achroinim that disagree. And they say that carrying is also on Chol HaMoed as well. And that was the opinion of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was careful that he should not carry on Chol HaMoed anything that he didn't need, just like he would do so on Yontif. He says the dalach of carrying on Yontif and carrying Chol HaMoed are essentially identical. If it's Letzarich HaEchel Nefesh, we could be lenient. And if it's not Letzarich HaEchel Nefesh, we have no right to be lenient. If that's the case, then we can very easily understand our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is teaching us that you're not, that unless the Ganovim, the Halach would be, you would not be allowed to carry something on Chol HaMoed. And as we said, what's the issue of carrying? But now it's understandable. Because if you're carrying from one Rishus to another Rishus, it would be also Chol HaMoed, if not for the reason that our Mishnah is teaching us that it's a davar avid. However, now teaches us the Mishnah another very important halacha. Whenever we're lenient, we can't be lenient if the person deliberately planned, well, I'm going to have to do this a Chol HaMoed. And therefore, says the Mishnah, the kulan in all situations, if they deliberately planned to do the melacha on Chol HaMoed, the halacha is yovdu. Pash pshat yovdu is that you're not allowed to have hanor. There's a machloikis, what may you not have hanor from? There's some rishonim to explain, you're not allowed to have hanor from this entire object that was worked with a Chol HaMoed. There are rishonim that say, the object was here from before Chol HaMoed. So the isser is not the isser of the object. Whatever it went up in value because you worked it on Chol HaMoed, then the halacha is that extra you're not allowed to have. And the reason is, as the Bar Tanur explains, that it's hefker. Chazal made hefker anything that you worked with improperly in Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah Brura seems to say it doesn't become automatically hefker. It becomes hefker. Bezdin has the obligation to make it hefker. It doesn't become hefker automatically. Begins the Gemara, Tana, even though we learned you're allowed to bring the Paris into your home because you're concerned about the Ganovim, the Loch is, you have to do it in a quiet way. And there's an interesting discussion here too amongst the Rishonim. This halacha that the Mishnah discusses, that we just learned in the Gemara, that you have to do it b'tzina, does it apply in all situations that you have to do b'tzina, or in not in all situations? Some suggest that the obligation to do it b'tzina is only where that is easily accomplished. But if it's not easily accomplished, we don't have to do b'tzina. But then there are other achroinim that make a very interesting distinction. They say as follows. When we speak about a davar avid, there really, they explain, two categories of a davar avid. There's a davar avid, which, if I won't do the malacha that we're discussing, this object that's in question will certainly get ruined. A davar avid vadai. Something which is a certain davar avid, Chazal were more lenient and did not require that whatever you're going to do should be done b'tzina. But when there's a situation, which is a suffix, let's think about our case. There's a concern that if I'm going to leave these objects outdoors, God never may come and take them. It's not certain that's going to happen. That's where Chazal were more machmer and said that what you're going to do, what Chazal allow us to do, we may only do it b'tzina. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef Avalei Kishurei, he had beams that were left outdoors, and Elina be your mama, and he took them into the house during the day. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asked about Tanya, haven't we just learned that if you want to take them in, you have to take them in quietly? Amalei Tsinadahani Yamamahu. We have to look at every situation independently, and carrying beams is better and is quieter when you do it by day. Because Kim Delilah Boy Gav Yisera, by night you need more people to carry this in because it's harder to see by night. And furthermore, Boy Mitkri Denura, and you have to bring torches to give illumination. So even though this is by night and this is by day, Afsha Milsa, it causes a big commotion. And therefore, we want to do it in the quietest way possible. We're better off doing it by day than by night. V'shal pishtan min ha-mishra. And the halacha is you could take your flax out of the water that it's soaking if you're concerned that it's going to get ruined if you leave it there. Says the Gemara, Bamin, ask the Gemara, Bamin, Rabbi Yimrim, Rabbi Zeira. Kivin melach de b'moyed. So if somebody deliberately planned to do work on Chol HaMoed, which our Mishnah just said, that if you do so, yoivdu, you lose them. And the person who did so, Mace, passed away. Ma'ush yiknesu b'nai akrov. The question is, does his son, who didn't have anything to do with this, get punished as well? So the Gemara attempts to use different situations in Shas to answer this question. The Gemara discusses that we know if a Bechor is born, it has to be given to a Kohen. As long as the Bechor is healthy, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, it was supposed to be brought as a carbon. When the Beis Hamikdash is not standing, he has to wait till it becomes a Baal Mum. And therefore, the Kohen, the Kohanim were accused that they would make a Mum. And the Chazal said that if somebody went and made a Mum in a Bechor, you're not allowed to have any benefit from that animal. Says the Gemara, Imtem Tzolayma, Tzoram Oizim Bechor, that somebody nicked the ear of a Bechor, Kansu B'nai Akrov, then not only is he punished, but his son as well. There, that can't serve as a raya to our Gemara. Because there, it's an Issa D'Raisa. There's an Issa D'Raisa to do Melacha, to make a Mum in a Bechor. Here is no Issa D'Raisa. So certainly, according to the opinions that hold Melacha and Chol HaMoed is only Issa D'Rabbanim, our Gemara is quite understandable. But as we've been discussing throughout our Masechta, there are opinion of Rashi, that Melacha and Chol HaMoed is also Issa D'Raisa. So how are we to understand the line of Gemara that we just learned? So they explain that even Rashi, who says that Melacha or Chol HaMoed is the Raisa, two things need to be remembered. One, there are exceptions. As Rashi says, the Torah left it up to Chazal to give us exceptions. Furthermore, it's not stated explicitly that one is not allowed to do Melacha and Chol HaMoed. What the Gemara means to say, therefore, you can't bring a Raya from the Isser to make a Mum and a Bechor to the Halacha of Chol HaMoed. The Gemara Masech the Gittin, Daf Mem Dalet teaches us that if somebody sells an Ava Kanani to a Nochri, the Loch is A, if the Eved runs away, the Loch from his Nochri owner, he goes free. Number two, he can't, in other words, the Jew can't take him back to work with him. Number two, the Loch is that the Jew has to spend whatever it takes to redeem the Eved. Says the Gemara, Imtem Tzolayma, Machar Avdel Avik Chav V'meis, that if somebody sold his Avik Kanani to an Akum and he passed away, Kansu B'nai Akrov, then not only is he punished, but his son as well, there, B'shem Kol Yoyma, Mafklei M'mitzus. Why were Chazal so concerned about this Avik Kanani who was sold to an Akum? Because the Aloch is that Avik Kanani is Mechuyiv Mitzus Ki'isha. Is obligating the same mitzvahs like a woman. And by you selling this Avi Kanani to a Nachri, you have created a situation where he can't do the mitzvahs. Hacha, but in the case of Chol HaMoed, my Gavra, what is the halacha? Do we say Gavra Kanas Rabbanim? The person who did the wrong thing and worked on Chol HaMoed, he was punished for Halesei, but that individual is no longer here. The Chazal made a knas on his money, and that money is still here, and therefore it should be the subject of the fine. Amalei, so Reb Zeira answers to Reb Yirmiya Tenisua. We actually have an answer to this question from the Mishnah Masechta Shviyas, Perek Dal Mishnah Beis. The Mishnah says, Sodashin of Kavtsa B'Shviyas. Somebody took off the thorns of a field in the Shemitah year, which of course, we know, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, one is not allowed to do melacha on a field during the Shemitah year. Tizara l'matzah Shabbos. We're allowed to work on that field in the eighth year. The taiva, if somebody fertilized a field during the Shemitah year. On the daira, there's different ways of fertilization. Sometimes you bring the fertilizer, and sometimes you bring the animal, and the animal expresses waste, which is, turns into being the fertilizer. There, like Tizara on the Matzah Shabbos. There, the halacha is that field may not be worked with on the eighth year. And the difference between Niskaftza and Nizdabla is in the Taiva is neskavtza is not something that you're working on the field itself. However, in other words, zibul, fertilizing a field, is very much similar to planting in a field, which of course we know the Torah says is asur. Whereas taking off the thorns, as I said, should not be done in the Shemitah year, but it's not similar to Zriya, and that's why Chazal did not make a knas there. That if somebody did this type of activity to his field and he passed away, b'noi zara, that his son is allowed to work on that field. What do we see from here? Says Rav Zeira, Alma l'dedei kanser rabbanon, to him who he worked on the field in the Shemitah year, Chazal made a knas. Lebrei, however, to his son, lo kanser rabbanon. So suggests Rav Zeira, Hachinami l'dedei kanser rabbanon, the person who worked on the field gets punished. Lebrei lo kanser rabbanon, to him Chazal did not. To the son of not make exal. Amar Abaya. So the Gemara gives another rule where we see that there's a difference between the father and the son. Naktinan, Tima Teroysov. If somebody went and made the food or anything that belongs to someone else, Tame, the mace, and he passed away, so if somebody does this to somebody else's property, he is punished. Lebrei, Lekotsum Noyachrov. But Chazal did not punish his son. What's the difference between the father and the son? Says the Gemara, my Tama. Has a shen and nikur. Really, when somebody makes something tamei, he is, of course, damaging it, but it's a hezek shen and nikur. It's not a noticeable hezek. And therefore, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, Mesechta Baba Kama, midaraisa hezek shen and nikur is not considered a hezek. However, this person who certainly caused damage to somebody else, l'dedei. So he who was the one that actually caused the damage, kanser rabbanon. Lebrei, to his son, the kanser rabbanon, they did not punish the son, and therefore the son doesn't get punished. However, there's an interesting discussion in the Achroinim. What does this mean? Does that mean that if the father is here and he could pay the knas for doing hezek, he has to pay the knas? If he's not here, he doesn't have to pay the knas. That's one way of understanding. But what would be the halacha if not only did he cause this damage, but they took him to Beis Din, and Beis Din assessed that this is how much he has to pay. And before he had the opportunity to pay whatever he has to pay, he passed away. Do we say that once Beis Din issued that psak, so then the son has to pay? It's a debt that the father had, that certainly the son, who inherits his father's obligations, has to pay it. Or is pshat in the Gemara that Chazal only made a knas on the father, not on the son, even if Beis Din had already paskened? Says the Mishnah, Ein loikim batim avadim behema. One may not purchase a chalamoid houses avadim behema, ela tzarech behemoid. Only a situation where you need these materials for chalamoid. Oy, letzarech amoich hashem lemayoichim. The Gemara gives another situation. The Mishnah gives us another situation. And that's a situation where I don't necessarily have to purchase this for chalamoid, but the person who's selling it needs the funds. And by me purchasing, he'll have proceeds that he can use with Tzarech Moed. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Barminai, Rabbi Ram Nachman, Sa Pa'ula. They have a worker that, Shein Lai Mayoichel, that doesn't have anything to eat. Mahu, what is the halacha? Am I allowed to hire such a worker because I'm doing him a favor that he should be able to have what to eat? Amalei, so he answered, Tanina, didn't we learn the answer to that question from what our Mishnah just said? The Mishnah said, O Lutzarech HaMoyed, Lutzarech HaMoyed HaShem Loi Mayoichem. And the question is, Lasuye Mai, why did the Mishnah have to add the words, Shem Loi Mayoichem? Lav, doesn't the Mishnah come to teach us, Lasuye Schar Pula, that what I'm doing it is not because the employer needs the funds, it's the employee who needs the proceeds, and the Mishnah says that that's a good enough reason to be able to do the work of Chol HaMoed. Amalei, so he said, Loi, don't understand the Mishnah when it says, L'tzorech HaMoech Shein Loi Mayoichel, as if it's teaching us two halachas. One is that the moicher needs the funds, and two is that the employees need the fund. Rather, the way to understand the Mishnah is Perushik HaMefarish. Shein Loi Mayoichel is an explanation why the seller is allowed to sell, because he needs the funds. But we don't have a raya if it's not he who needs the funds, it's his worker who needs the funds. Eisvei Abaye. Mishnah is going to teach us on Daf Yud Chesam and Beis. Ein koisim shtar chai b'moyed. We're not allowed to write IOUs on Chol HaMoed. V'im einam b'mayinay. But let's say the malva doesn't trust the loiva, and the loiva is desperate for the funds. Oy, she'ein lo mayoichel, or the loiva doesn't have what to eat, and he's desperate for these funds. Hareza yichtav. So again, ask the Gemara, ein lo mayoichel, if it's she'ein lo mayoichel, is superfluous. We're saying that even if he has what to eat, but the malva doesn't trust him, so certainly in the case of ein lo mayoichel, we should be allowed to pay him. Isn't it coming to teach us? L'suyemai. What is that Mishnah seemingly coming to teach us? L'suyeschapula. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that if the worker, the person who writes the shtar, needs funds, you and I, who don't necessarily have to do this transaction on Chol HaMoed, may do this transaction in order that he should have what to eat. Now the question is, what does that mean, that he should have what to eat? Some say that, as the words of the Gemara imply, he doesn't have what to eat. But let's say he has what to eat, and the only reason he's going to get into this situation is that he should have more to eat on Chol HaMoed. So many disagree, and they say that then we can't be lenient. Others say that we could be lenient even in that case, where we want to help that this person should have a Simchas Yontif, and since we want to help they should have a Simchas Yontif, we're going to get involved that he should have income. The Mishnah Berurah also points out, what about family members? He has what to eat, but his family doesn't. So Mishnah Berurah says, family members who depend on him are considered like him. Family members who don't depend on him, they're just coming to be guests in his home, are not considered in the same category as he is. Shema Aminah, from here we see that to help somebody have an income in Chol HaMoed is permissible. And in fact, there's a tshuva from the Noida Behuda. The Noida Behuda in Kama, or Chaim Simon Yud Gimel, says that let's say we know, we're going to learn a Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shiur, that you're not allowed to take a haircut in Chol HaMoed. He says, let's say you have a barber who's very poor, and you're taking a haircut, not because you want to take a haircut in Chol HaMoed, we're only doing it so that he should have income. The Noida Behuda says that that's already considered a situation of Dovid HaOvid, and the halacha is that we're allowed to take a haircut, that he should have panosa, very bechidish. Maser v'sheshes, ask the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah and Masech the Pesachim. The Mishnah and Masech the Pesachim speaks about melacha, doing work on Erev Pesach. And the Mishnah says that everybody, Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, did not do melacha. And the reason is because that was the time when the Korban Pesach was bought. And once, when somebody's carbon is being brought, he's not allowed to do melacha. And therefore, even though, unfortunately, b'zman hazeh, we don't have kabbonis, the halacha remains that one is not allowed to do melacha after chatzos. But the Gemara, in Masech the Pesachim, and Perek Malkam Shenagu, discusses, are you allowed to do melacha before chatzos, Erev Pesach? And the Mishnah there says, there were places that had a minig, they had a custom they didn't, and there are places that had a minig that they did. So says the Gemara. The Mishnah there says, the three professions, a lot of work in Erev Pesach, even if it's a place that the minig ha-mokim is that they don't work on Erev Pesach.
ad chatzos, but they also could only do malacha till chatzos. Who are they? Hachayotim, the tailors, v'ksaparim, the barbers, v'kaisvim, and the people who do laundry. And the Mishnah and the Gemara there explains why. Hachayotim, shekein hed yutayfik adak b'chal shemayit. As we've learned, that a tailor could work a chalamayit. So just like we're lenient on chalamayit, we're going to be lenient ere Pesach. Hasafar v'kaisvim, shekein, even though you're not allowed to take a haircut or do laundry in Chol Hamoed, still we're going to learn. Shagayin habayim medayin sayam, people who come from overseas, or hayotz meis asurim, if somebody is let out of prison, they are individuals who are mutarim l'sapar l'kabbis b'chol shemayid. They could take haircuts and wash Chol Hamoed, and that's why we can be lenient for them on Erev Pesach as well. Makes the Gemara's point. They were allowed to hire anybody who needs the income. So that means technically or theoretically, every malacha could be done in Chol Hamoed. If you're doing it because you need it for panasa. So if that's the case, the halacha should be that everything should be allowed to be done Chol Hamoed. We always have a case where somebody needs the funds if he doesn't have what to eat. So we see from here that everything, how do we understand this Gemara? Maskara Papa Elamata, Binyan Lishtri. If you're going to take it this far, you should be allowed to build on Erev Pesach. Shekein, as we learned earlier, Kaisa Goyalish Rabbim, you have a wall that's leaning towards Rosh Hashanah. We learned that Allah is Sois Rabbani Kadakai. We may rebuild it on Chol Hamoed, Mnei Sakana. So the Allah should be that you should be allowed to build on Chol Erev Pesach as well. Maskel Ravina, similar question. Ela Avlover Lishteri, a cipher should be allowed to work on Erev Pesach. Shekein Kaisin Gutit Noshim, Kedushin Noshim. We're going to learn that Yud Ches, that you're allowed to write a Kedushin Shtar on Chol Hamoed, Gittin. You'll have to write a get, v'shoivrim, and a receipt if somebody pays up the debt. Elo, I'm Ravashi, Moed, Abbas Karamis, you're trying to connect the halachas of Chol Hamoed with the halacha of Erev Pesach, Moed, Mishim Terchahu. The fact that they take into consideration the Chol Hamoed is Tircha. And Chazal said that even though they don't want us to do Tircha on Chol Hamoed, however, B'makom Pseida, Sharu Rabbanim. However, Abba also, the fact that to take consideration is what may be done on Erev Pesach, something which is a Tzorech Yontavu. And therefore, Allah is, meeted the Tzorech Yontav, something which is a Tzorech Yontav, Shor Rabbanon. Chazal allow us to do it on Erev Pesach. Anything else, if it's not Tzorech Yontav, but Shor Rabbanon. And therefore, we can't learn the halachas from Chol Hamoed to Erev Pesach, and therefore the halacha still may very much remain that in Chol Hamoed you're allowed to do malacha, and you're even allowed to do malacha. You're allowed to even allowed to have malacha done if it's just because the worker needs the income. Says the Mishnah, "Ein mefanim mebayis lebayis." You're not allowed to move materials from one home to another home because, again, as we just discussed, it's a situation of Tircha, and I saw that the Yoreim explains why were Chazal so concerned about Tircha. The Chazal were concerned about Tircha is because Chazal were concerned of Zilzul and Yontif. If we're going to treat Yontif, that we do things that involve a Tircha, it's considered a Zilzul and Yontif. The Ritva says a different reason. He says that the reason is that it's going to be Mamat with Simchas Yontif. It takes away from Simchas Yontif if you're busy on Chol Hamoed with all of these type of activities. Others explain that when you spend Chol Hamoed doing these types of activity, then it looks like Maisa Chol. It looks like you're treating the Chol Hamoed like you're treating every other day of the week. The Ritva quotes a Yerushalmi that says that even if somebody's emptying out his apartment because he's moving into a nicer apartment, that it doesn't make a difference, it would still be usur. The Karban Nisanel seems to say the fact that Al Gemara does not make that type of a distinction, our Mishnah, the halacha is that if you're moving to a nicer apartment, maybe we could be more lenient. Says the Mishnah, we're not allowed to, if somebody left something to be fixed, I'm not allowed to bring it home. But if I'm concerned, and the Gemara is going to explain this in great detail, what does it mean, L'chotza Acheres. So Rashi explains, again, the concern is because it's taking away from the Simchas Yontif. The Nebuka Yosef explains that the reason is because we're concerned that if somebody sees me taking kalim from this type of, from the person's office or business on Chol HaMoed, they're going to think that I took it to him on Chol HaMoed, which of course is also. Says the Gemara, Vamed Reisha, the Mishnah said that we're allowed to take kalim from the bais to the chotzer. So it means from one chotzer to another chotzer. Vamed Reisha, Eim Efanim Klal. But then the Mishnah begins by saying we're not allowed to move kalim. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Sefer Osl Abaye Shebechotzer. We're allowed to take from something that's in the house in the chotzer to that chotzer. Because since it's all within the same chotzer, it doesn't look like you're doing melacha. But if you're taking it from one chotzer to another chotzer, that is much more of a tircha, and it's aser. We learned in the Mishnah, Emevim Kalim Abaye Seuman. Amar Apapa, Badak Lon Rava. Rava tested us. Tanan, we just learned in our Mishnah, Emevim Kalim, the Beis Ulman. We're not allowed to take anything from the Beis Ulman. Fred asked the Gemara of Reminu, but doesn't the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim, Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis, teach us, Melichim Avim, Kalim Beis Ulman, we're allowed to bring Kalim from the Beis Ulman, Ab Bishen Atzarech Lemeid. Vishanin Allah. And the way to answer this question, Kan Ba'aba Asr, on Ere Pesach, we're more lenient, because even as we just learned earlier in our shir that we're concerned about doing malacha and Chol HaMoed, that's only something that's in the category of malacha. This is in the category of tircha. It's not in the category of malacha, and that's why we could be more lenient than Erev Pesach. Kam b'Chol HaMoed, where the consideration is tircha, that's why we have to be more machma. Ibris Ema, another way of reconciling, is Havaha b'Chol HaMoed. Both the Mishnah here and the Mishnah Pesachim are talking about Chol HaMoed. The difference is Kam b'Maminoi. If you trust the person that you pay him a Chol HaMoed, but you leave the keli there, and you're not concerned that when you come after Yontif to pick up your object, he's going to say you owe me money, so you should leave it there. Kan, the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim, is talking about She'enim Aminah, where you don't trust him. And if you pay him and you leave it there, you're concerned that when you come to pick it up, he's going to ask you for payment again. Vatanya, and the Gemara brings a raya. Here, Vatanya is not a question, but it's a raya. The Brice says, Mavin Kalim Beis Uman, Kigoyin Kadma Beis Akador. We're allowed to bring a pitcher from the person who works with pitchers. The kois mebeis azagog, you have a glass cup, you could bring it from somebody who works with glass. Avloit semen beis atzava, you're not allowed to bring wool from the person who dyes the wool. Vloit kelim beis umen. Vim eloi mal yoichal, but if the professional doesn't have what to eat, nois nois schara, pay him because he needs the income. Umenich etzloi, and leave it there and pick it up after yontif. However, if you do not trust him, you put it in the chotzer, don't leave it in his home, leave it in the chotzer near his place of business. However, but if you're concerned that leaving it there, it's going to get stolen. So you don't want to leave it in the Beis HaUman because you don't trust him. You don't want to leave it in the street because you're afraid it's going to get stolen. The loch is, you have to take Bitsina. And again, the Rishonim point out, why must it be done Bitsina? Is because Chazal were concerned that people see you doing this publicly, they're going to make the mistake that you're allowed to take Kalim to Umin on Chol HaMoed, which of course is not permissible. So ask the Gemara, Teretz the Mavian. We are now explained why, under what circumstances you're allowed to bring kalim from the Beis HaUman, under what circumstances you may not. However, Malichan Kasha, we still have a question about taking something there. The Tani, In our Mishnah it says Eim Aviim, V'koshken She'eim Alichin. And there it says that you are allowed to. El Machvarta, we have to go back to our original teretz. That's Kedushanina Makara, that there's a difference between Chol Hamoed and Erev Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Mechapin as a Ktzias. We're allowed to cover up the dates that are left out for drying. The halacha is, we're allowed to cover them up, the kash with straw. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Ma'avin. And the Gemara is going to explain what Mechapin and Ma'avin means. Says the Mishnah, Moichre Peris, somebody who sells fruit, Ksus, clothing, V'kelim, Moichre Betzina L'Tzarech Moed. If they need to sell L'Tzarech Moed, they're only allowed to sell it quietly. And the reason it has to be done quiet is, again, as we said earlier, either because doing it publicly is a zilzul on Yontif, other reason is we want to do things not in the same fashion that they're done all week long. Hatzayodim, people who capture animals and birds and fish, v'adashosos, so people who make grain into cereal, v'agroises, some people who mill beans, they too, we could be do it l'tzarech hamoed. And the reason is that usually these types of activities are done for long term. And therefore, there's a real concern that somebody sees you doing this, are going to think you're not doing it for Yontif, for Chol Hamoed, or for the second day's Yontif. You're doing it for after Yontif. And that's why we have to be more machmer. Another nafkamina that the Ramban suggests, there's a nafkamina when it's a malachas hegit or malachas umen. Something which requires a professional should always be done b'tzina. Something which doesn't really require a professional to perform, you could do it b'feresya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, hey machmir malatzmam. And the Gemara is going to explain what Rabbi Yossi means with this statement. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah began with machloikis of the Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda about what you could do with the dates that you put out for drawing. Mechapim or ma'avim. Says the Gemara, Pligibo, there's a machloikis, how to understand our Mishnah, a machloikis from Chibar Aber Vasi, Tavayu, a quoting Mishmei the Chizki Rabbi Yochanan. Charam a mechapim a klushi. One means says that you're allowed to cover up the dates, but with just a small amount of branches that are not that compact. Ma'abin is a smuchin, put on a heavy layer of branches. V'charamar, mechapin, doesn't make a difference between a klushi, between a smuchi, a thin layer or a heavy layer. Ma'abin means oisnoisikim in kri, that you're allowed to make them into a bundle, into a stack, stacking them. Tanya namehachim, and the Gemara brings a raya that is supports the second explanation, because the Brisa says, Ma'abin, oisnoisikim in kri, you're allowed to stack them, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We learned in the Mishnah, Meichem prayers, Ksusu Kalim, Meichem Betzima. And then the Mishnah concluded, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hei Nachmiru Al Atzman. And as we said, we need to understand what is meant with that statement. Ibailuhu. What does Rabbi Yossi mean to say? Does Rabbi Yossi mean to say, Hei Nachmiru Atzman, the Le'avdi Klau, that they didn't do any of these malachas at all? Or Dilma, what Rabbi Yossi meant to say was, to have the Avdi Betzina. That means, Rabbi Yossi really holds that you could do it b'feresya. Just these people were machmer to do it b'tzina. Toshma, the Brisa says, Meichem peris ksus v'kelim, Meichem b'tzina l'tzarech moed. They should sell it b'tzina. Rabbi Yosef Metagri Tveria, the merchants of Tveria, hei nechmir ma'atzmam, they were machmer shloi meichem kolakar. Tzoy dechais v'ayfus v'dogim, tzoyin b'tzina l'tzarech moed, they could capture these different livestock Betzina for Chol Hamoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer Tzade Akoi, the people in Akoi who did hunting, Hei Nachmir Al Atzmam Shlo Yitzodin Kol Ikra. The Shushay Chilka, Targus for Tisni, different types of processing of grain, which we'll discuss in a moment. So we see that Rabbi Yossi is more machmer than the Tanakhama. That the Tanakhama said that if it's done b'tzina, it's fine. And comes Rabbi Yossi says that all these various individuals were machmer not to do it at all. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, what is the definition of chilka? Chodilatarti. When you take grain and you break and you split it into two. Tirgus is chodilatlas. When you take grain and you divide it into three. Tisni is when you take a kernel and chodilarbi, you divide it into four. Kiyosar avdimi amar kunsa. The definition is of chilka is not that you split the grain. Rather, it means kunsa, which is spelt. Meisvei. Says the Gemara, they asked in the yeshiva on the explanation the Rav Dimi just offered. Says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Chilka tirgus v'tisni tamein b'kamakim. They're always b'kabel tuma. Why? Because we learned many times, in order for food to be b'kabel tuma, it had to be mukshel kabel tuma. It had to be made susceptible to kabel tuma. How does it become susceptible to kabel tuma? By making it wet. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Lamandama, Chodal Tarti, Litlasal Arba. That's why we could understand, Mishamachi Tumay Mikam Akim. We could understand why they're always susceptible to Tumah. Diskasher, because in order to split them, you first have to soak them in water. And that's why they become Mukshal Kabal Tumah. And once they're susceptible to Tumah, Tumay Mikam Akim. But as says the Gemara, El Lamandama, Kunsa, according to Mandama that says, Chilka means spelt, a maitam may become makim. Halay is kasher. To process spelt, you don't need water. Answers the Gemara, kigoyin de makalfin. We're talking about spelt that was peeled, and the ilav the sharla b'maya. If not that the spelt was soaked in water, lo have a miklefa, you can never peel it. And that's why it certainly became mukshel kabel tuma, even if it means spelt, not that it means it was split. Ask the Gemara, for my car lechuka, why do they call a peeled spelt chilka? Says the Gemara, b'shaki chukayu. They take off the peel, and by taking off the peel is not smooth. But when you take off the peel, the kernel you're left with is smooth. Meisvei asked the Gemara another question. It says in a braisa, hanoidim in a dogan, if somebody made a nether that he's not going to have benefit for something in the category of Dagon, the halacha is os apapula mitzvah yavish. He's not allowed to have benefit from dried beans or mutter belach, but he may have anah from moist beans, mutter b'iris, and he's allowed to have benefit from rice, b'chilka v'targ v'tesni. Says the Mar Bishlam Mandama, that the definition of chilka targus v'tisni is chadul tarti, chadul tlas, chadul arba, shaper. That is understandable why you may have a no. The nafklu v'taris no dogin. Once you process the wheat to the category that you've split it, it's no longer in the category of dogin. Elamandam akunso, but according to the mandam that says it's spelled dogin mal yehu, it's full-fledged dogin. Why would you be allowed to have a no? Says the Gemara Kasha. And as we've said many times in our shiurim, that there's a difference when the Gemara uses the word Kasha versus when the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta. When the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta, it means there's a question to which there is no answer. When the Gemara uses the word Kasha, it means there's a Kasha, but there's an answer to the Kasha. So what does Kasha mean here? So the Rishonim explain the Kasha, the reason it's only a Kasha, is because when we speak about Nedarim, which is the subject that this Bryce is speaking about, we go after Loshim and Adam. We follow the way people speak. So it could very well be that spelt should be in the family of Dagon. But since when people refer to Dagon, they don't include spelt, kunze, in what they're talking about, that's why it's not in the family of Dagon. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah that Meichay Peres Ksus V'Kalim, Meichay Mitzina. Says the Gemara, Vuna Shar Lahonikar Fiyosai, there were people that sold spices, L'mezel Azvunikar Chai B'Shukah. He allowed them to be sold publicly on Chol HaMoed. Esay Rav Kahana, we learned, ask Rav Kahana, we learned in the Braisa. Chanos l'psuch l'stov. If you have a store that's open to a small alleyway and where people sit, Pesach v'nal kedarkoi. Since it's not open to a major thoroughfare, even though on Chol HaMoed we have to be strict to do it b'tzina, this way we could be lenient. Psuch l'shas rabim. But if it's open, if your store is open to Shas Rabim, the loch is Pseach Echas and Noilachas. If you have two doors, keep one open and one closed, so it should be a Shinui. Barav Yontif Shalach Rechav, but on the last day of Chol HaMoed, so we're getting ready for Yontif, Moitza Ma'atah Shukair Paris, you could sell fruit publicly, B'Shvil Kfoy Yontif Achron, because your goal is that there should be plenty to eat on Yontif. Nekvay Yontif Achron in. So we see only in those circumstances. Shlom Nekvay Yontif Loi. So how could Rav allow them to sell the spices in their normal fashion? Says the Gemara Loi Kasha. Hava Peri. Somebody who's selling fruit, so fruit could be sold to be kept for a longer period. And therefore, somebody sees I'm selling fruit in Chol HaMoed, may accuse me that I'm selling it for after Yontif. And that's why Chazal said, if you're going to sell it, you're only allowed to sell it b'tzina. But tavlin, spices, in those days did not last. And obviously, if they're being sold, they're being sold for Yontif. And therefore, since they're being sold, it's obvious that they're being sold at Tzorech Yontif, they can be sold before Esya. Harun l'chmisha hafach, Hanun loch mishahafach, Hanun loch mishahafach.